if you think that it's a snap to preach when you got a bunch of preachers there, you're wrong.
Bless him, Lord.
Had a meeting years ago over in Oklahoma. I'm from Concrete, Oklahoma. That's where I was born. Cement on your maps, but us Okies call it concrete. That's where I was born. Years ago, the Lord moved on me to do some pioneer work. I started a bus ministry back there, 838 Southeast 29th Street, 29 Model A with the rumble seat. And I just got the rumble seat full and I just hung out the windows. Started my bus ministry there. I went to preach a meeting in a town called Haskell, Oklahoma. I was out from town and went out and preached at a schoolhouse, and the fellas run the meeting, Dip Copenhagen. That ain't right. You scared to say that? You never will last. You won't last as long as a paper shirt and a bear fight if you're afraid to say that. You'd never make a pastor. You'd never make a deacon. You'd never make a Sunday school teacher if you're afraid to say that. God help you. If you're waiting on the Surgeon General of the United States to warn your old uncle about that, you better tell him yourself. Amen. Well, I went out there and preached, and the Lord bid me hold a revival there. And I had to hold it outside the school on the grass, and I didn't have no seats. So I went back to town, and I prayed, and I went into the man's store, the man that was mayor of the town. I said, I need to borrow the park seats to have a revival. And he said, son, I'll loan them to you. And I walked out of his store, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do to haul them 9 miles out there in the country? And you know the Lord just knows, and he drove Toy Kreiner, that's Wilma Milliken's daddy. The Kreiner sisters attended B&I's first revival out there in the country, and that's where they first rejoiced and shouted in the Spirit, was in our meeting. Her daddy drove up with a big old truck, said, son, I heard you was in the country. I don't know who you are, but said, would you have any need in the world for this old truck? Now, that happened. I mean, that's timing it, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's timing it. You know, God's got things in time. He knows when to put tomatoes on the vine. You worried about what the gospel seed will do? I'll tell you the only thing it'll do. It'll produce gospel results. Down home where I live, you can plant a row here of turnips and a row here of cabbages and a row here of tomatoes or whatever you set out or plant, and it'll put sweetness in the watermelon and sourness in the pickles nearly. I mean, it's just strange how seeds will do what seeds are supposed to do, but they will. And the Lord timed that, and up behind him drove another truck, and another farmer said, I've heard about you, son. Would you have any use for this other truck? So I hauled all the seats out in the country and drove and got me some old gasoline lanterns and coal oil lamps and started me a revival. Oh, we had a fine place to live, 11-foot house trutter, homemade house trutter. Of course, we didn't know about insulation in. Quilts froze the wall every winter, and B&I'd have to get up and crack the ice loose them all to come out of there. Wasn't as easy to get out of there as it is to get out now. And, you know, I started that revival. We had cistern water to drink and an ice box. I don't mean a refrigerator. An ice box. Well, we got started in that meeting, and the power of the Lord commenced to work. Hit us here last night. I wouldn't mind if I could take off for a quit last night. But he's just the same. This sinner's prayed here last night. This people is healed here last night. Did you know that? I can't help what you don't feel. I don't go by what you don't feel. I go by what I feel. And that's operated for 38 years. Well, the power of the Lord began to work, and folks began to pray and cry and sing and shout. Don't you love it? I love it. There's a school teacher started coming to that meeting, and he didn't believe in the power of God. What made me say this tonight is what Benny said about someone here last night that didn't understand it. And he didn't believe in the power of God, and Shorty said, I'll tell you what, he said, I'm bringing some onions tomorrow night to rub in my eyes so I can cry. Well, we prayed under the old black jacks the next day for Shorty. Shorty come back that night, and the power of the Lord started again. You can't control it. Why, Pastor, an old man by the name of Q in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, he is such an ungodly feller and so wicked. His wife got to praying one day in the house and went to shouting. And Q said, wicked, ungodly, played all 8th of January and you know, turkey and a straw on his old fiddle. Why, I said, I'll whip out my fiddle and play you a little tune while you dance. I pastored him. Whipped the old fiddle down off the wall, stuck the old boy up in there and said, wife! I won't tell the truth so it'll sound right. Wife! Oh, wife! Pray, pray, pray! He said, my arm's hung. I can't even move it. Pray, pray! I told you his name was Q. His boys owned the Parisian Cleaners in Sepulpa, Oklahoma. That's what happened to Papa Q when he made fun of the power of God. His arm hung up on him. It didn't come unhung either, being ill. Mama Q prayed through for him. You'll dance a double circle if your wife comes out of that bed and they've told you she's going to die and she can't live and the power of God comes upon her. You'll dance you a double circle. Amen. I was there when Shorty got out the handkerchief and wiped the tears as they run off his face. Brother Morris said, move this meeting over at my schoolhouse. I've got a generator over there and got some electricity over there, and come on over and finish this meeting up over there. They had a prayer meeting now, that revival, for 2 years in that schoolhouse, and people prayed through, numbers of people got saved. I appreciate the power of the Lord. It's been real good to be here. I've got my mind in other places and other people, but I have it here, but I mean, the Lord is leading me to other places. But it's been so good to be at Dryden Road in Dayton, Ohio again and meet all my dear friends. And I want to say I'm especially happy for Brother Benny, Sister Sutherland, and their effort here to bless and help you people. They're great people. They're good people. They're good people. And we appreciate them and their efforts here to help you children, to bless you children. We are real glad for them, and I feel real comfortable around Benny. He's just a good man. He doesn't upset me any, doesn't tear me up. I'm just glad to be with him. And the good hospitality that's been given us here, thank you for it. The offerings you give us, I'd have come. I would have come if you had nothing. I would have come if you had nothing. I would come if you had nothing. Great Lord, I feel religious, boys. I feel religious. Bless my heart. I had a meeting in Oklahoma years ago at a little old place. Feller didn't have no money. And his boy wrecked his car while he was there. And I begged God for money. Lord, don't pay no attention to me sometimes. But I begged God for money. Lord, I said, give me money. This young man driving his father's car and didn't have no insurance and folded the whole front end back under it and told it out and left him owing on the car and nothing to pay for it with. Pastor in a church in a little schoolhouse away out in Lugard, Oklahoma, and snow on the ground and no money. Lord, I said, you can't hardly stick at that tithe-paying doctrine if you serve the Lord good. Preacher, man, you just can't hardly stay. You see, I teach tithes, offerings, and alms. And then I just jump in the book of Acts and give it all sometime. I don't know. I can't hardly stay hooked up on. I teach all three of them and then just have to turn around when I've given. And I meet a man needs help. I can't say, Lord, I've done give. Lord, say, give some more. Just turn around and give some more. I said, Lord, if you put a $100 bill in my hand, it'll just pass right on through it. I won't hold a tenth out of it. I'm not bragging about that. Every good man of God's like that. I said, I'll just pass right on to him. Help him out. Lord wouldn't hear me. I couldn't get any answer anywhere, laying down and praying, kneeling praying, walking in prayer. Couldn't get an answer, no way. I couldn't get none. I won't have to hurry. Now, I don't want to worry y'all because I'm afraid some of my talk's not too interesting. Don't sound too interesting to me. But I was praying and praying, and one day the insurance man come out and said, I'm going to tell you who it was in a minute. He said, Mister, you could have been driving that car, couldn't you? He said, no, sir, I wasn't driving it. My son was. You know he's not covered by insurance. Yes, sir, I understand. See, you could have been under the wheel, couldn't you? No, sir, he said, it wasn't under the wheel. And he had one eye that watered real bad. And he'd take his handkerchief out and wipe that water off his face. And he said, sir, I wasn't driving. The old insurance fellow, he said, well, why don't you come into Granite in a day or so and see me? So I went in with him when we did, and we went into the man's office, and he said, now, Reverend, he said, you could have been driving that car, couldn't you? He said, no, sir, I wasn't driving it. A little bit, he said, now, you could have been driving the car. No, sir, he said, now, sir, he said, as much as I need a car, as much as I need a car, I'd like to have a car, but I wasn't driving the car. That old insurance boy's getting the best out of that. He said, go out the curb and get in the car out there and drive it around and see what you think of it. We got in it and drove it around. It was a better car than the other one, same year model. We come back in, he said, Preacher Crawford, he was his father. He said, the payments are the same and the balance is the same. Now you can do what you want to, but I'll take Jesus for mine. The Lord knowed he wanted that man to witness to that insurance man. God knew that his servant would stand true and witness. I want to talk to you just a little while tonight, not long. Brother Parrott always touches me and everyone else. I'm calling him Parrott. I don't think that's his name. We got a Parrott here. But I'm talking about this brother that got up here and got saved years ago when I was over here in this country. And I tell you, it just thrills me. Every time I hear him, that just makes me want to go that much further for the Lord. All right, I'm going to talk to you a little while. Not long tonight. I'm going to try to help you if I can. I'm just a man, and that's all I've ever been. I don't know why the Lord ever called me. I've asked him about it, and he's cautioned me not to say too much about it. You see, God don't write very much, and he don't say a whole lot. The only thing I have much record on him writing was the Ten Commandments, and I always thought that hand that appeared in the book of Daniel was God's hand. He's had other men write for him. He doesn't write a whole lot. He's had men that's moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write it. He doesn't say a whole lot. Doesn't say a whole lot. And at his judgment, he won't say a whole lot. He has us say many things for him. But you're talking about dignitaries in the world, and you talk about meeting people, and you think it's an honor to get to meet them. I'll tell you, my friend, if you get to be God's friend and you're on God's side, you're on somebody's side. The voice said, cry, from Isaiah 40:6, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So till I see you again, I'm going to talk to you a little while tonight about the grass. I well remember when my wife's father lay in the hospital bad sick, and the great physician said, he'll make it all right. He'll be all right. He'll make it all right. I remember as I walked down the hospital hall that night after the great physician said he'd be all right, God spoke to me and said he will die before the dawn of another day. I said to wife, I said, your father will die tonight. Oh, they said he'd be all right. I said he won't. He'll die tonight. She said, what'll we do? He's unsaved. You go talk to him. I said, I can't. I'm not the one. You go. She went, spoke to her father. On his deathbed, she said, you're unsaved. You need to be saved. You need God. You need to pray. The old man prayed. He said, God, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the evil things I've done. God saved him. Before the gray dawn of another day, he went away to another world. God knew it. voice said, cry. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodness thereof is the flower of the grass, the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. After a while, my friend, whether you understand it or not, or whether you know it or not, or whether you've thought about it or not, you're going to fade. You're going to fade. I don't know how we can live here as individuals, knowing that we cannot stay here, knowing that we're just here for a while, and be so careless and so reckless. I don't understand. We are going to a world that has no end. Altar calls will not be made in the world we are going to. The place where we are going to will either join that great host of people that make those pitiful sounds forever. The only difference in the bodies and in eternity will be location. Everybody has an eternal body in the world to come. We can produce in the rich man in hell four of the senses we have in this body. The only one I cannot prove by the Bible is that smelling. I cannot prove that he had that sense of smelling, but I can by the Bible prove that he did have four, and I think he could smell, but I cannot prove by the scriptures that he could smell, but he could hear, he could feel, he could taste, he could remember, he could see. He had four of the five senses we have in this body when he left and went to hell. The only difference, they live forever in hell, but it's an eternal death. It's an eternal separation from God. It's called a second death, and there they'll be. God gonna mow the grass on you in a little bit. You'll fade. Oh, you'll fade. No wonder that singer down home used to sing, when my time comes to go, when my time comes to go, I will lay down my soul at Jesus' feet. When my time comes to go, I want to be able to do that. Did you know the Bible said in Psalms 90:5, thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are all as asleep. In the morning, they're like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it's cut down and withereth. God will cut the grass after a while. In the evening, it's cut down. My little brother was 27 when they called me in Evans, Colorado, and said, your brother's bad sick. The Lord spoke to me suddenly and said, he'll die. He'll not live. I said, Jeff Utter, the Lord has spoke to me and told me my brother will pass away. Only one I have. I must go. I must hasten. I must go to Oklahoma. I left that night. We in the lower part of Colorado. I felt death come upon my only brother. I said, oh God, he's dying now. Do spare him till I get there. Don't let him leave till I get there. I prayed earnestly. I felt that the Lord had rebuked death. When I arrived, my old oil field father, hard-working man, he said, son, your brother died. Your brother passed away. His eyes set in his head. I held my hand over his eyes so your mama couldn't see, but said in a little while to come back. It flourishes. We pet them by the bedside. We rock them on our knee. We appreciate them. We love them. We're with them. And how we think so much of them. And they flourish and God blesses them. And then he cuts it down. I don't know whether you've considered that you're a traveler or not, but you are. In lockstep fashion, we move like an army that's marching, whether we wake or sleep, to another world. You're a sojourner in Ohio. You're a traveler, man. I am touched when I go to places and think of my old Indian prayer. I prayed it when I married my youngest son to his wife. May your moccasins make happy tracks in many snows. And may the rainbow be on your shoulder. But for all of that, you'll flourish and you'll be blessed, but then God will cut you down. I don't know why he takes a notion to cut some folks down when he does, but then nobody can stop him and nobody can stay his hand and nobody can question his judgment and no man is justified to complain against God in what he does. You better listen. God's going to cut the grass on you. Going to cut the grass on you. You may be ever so far. Ever so beautiful. 3 days later, 20 minutes till 2 o'clock in the morning, in Oklahoma City by my brother's bedside, the only one that's there. Love and life and death were locked in fierce battle in the same room. And he went away, and I never said, God, why did you do it? I never said, God, why did it happen? I just said, oh, God, help me to be ready when my time comes to go. You God Almighty, the world all over, ain't nobody can run your business for you. Would you help me to be willing to do what you want? Are you ready tonight? I just wonder. If there's anyone, why would the Lord? I don't, will the Lord give me this message for sure or not? I'm aware of the fact that us preachers can pray and study and get little thoughts and think they're all from the Lord, but they ain't. All of them's not from the Lord. Why, no. We ought to be honest with people. But I thought the Lord dealt with me to talk to some of my friends that was here tonight about this. You're flourishing, doing pretty good. You better live in fear, man. You better live in fear. God's going to cut the lawn in a minute. He's going to trim the grass. I've looked out around our building here. Ain't we got a beautiful place here? Is it strange how you get so close to God's people? Notice the grass is growing up good, but we're going to have to cut it again. We know when to cut it, Benny. You know, I mean, when it gets up there pretty good, we know God knows when to trim the grass. It may not be one, it may not look like it needs it, but God knows it's time. There's a little girl or a little boy. There's a man or woman without a doubt in this house. You'll not live as old as you think you will. God will cut the grass. God will cut the grass. We are like grass. And the Bible said all flesh is grass. Not is as grass, but is grass. As nice looking as some of us are, and as long as it takes us to make up what we are, we think we're more than grass, don't we? But the voice said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? Tell them they're all as beautiful as angels. Tell them they'll live forever there. Tell them they'll have a good time all the time and never have any trials or sadness. No. The voice that the prophet heard said, tell them all flesh is grass. Ooh, if we could sell for what we think we're worth, we'd really bring something, wouldn't we? But if we sell for what we're worth, there ain't too much of a market for grass, is there? God help us to see where we're at. It doesn't make a difference how high I jump, how loud a shout. Someday, God will mow the grass on me. Uncle Mac lay down in the jaws of death at 85 down in Oklahoma, and he said, Lord, do you want me to live? The Lord blessed Uncle Mac and said, I've added to you years, 15 years. That's 100. Oh, Lord. 96 years of age, he'd pick beans all day and walk 6 miles to town. 100 years of age, he'd get up and conduct a praise service, what we call a testimony service down in Oklahoma, or a praise service. 102 years of age, he lay on his deathbed and his children was all around him. Children, he put my clean clothes on me and said, put me in the little graveyard behind the church. Don't let the undertaker touch me. Wash my body and lay me away. I don't want nobody to fool with me. Oh, it flourishes and we're so proud of them and we love them so. Mama got old away too quick, didn't she? There they go. There goes Grandma. There goes Grandpa. I wish they was back with us. Do you know I'm the old folks that children's going to be coming to see pretty quick, son? Other day I woke up to that. You know, when you look around and you can't see anybody old enough to be your mother or father, you're getting old. I'm getting old. Ain't hard. I still see a few, but I'm the old folks the children's driving to see after a while. Are you ready for God to cut the grass on? I noticed Psalms 103 and 15, the Bible said, so the heathen, 103:15. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. You better thank God while you flourish. You better worship the Lord while you flourish. You better do it. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. It won't be long till you'll be moved on us. We are still talking about the old-timers that live down where we live. We are still talking about the grandmothers and the grandfathers that shouted amongst the babies on the pallets. Well, I've been to many old-time meetings where women and men 70 and 80 years old shouted. We used to bring the babies to church and lay them on the pallets, you know, on the floor. Wasn't near as hard to control children then. My mom and dad didn't have much trouble controlling me. They burnt me where I needed to be burnt till I was willing to be controlled. I'm telling you the truth. Whew. They put me in double overdrive. Woo. Daddy say, I'll get you. And tell me that 15 times, not my papa. Say, I'll get you, he got you. And when he got you, you know what you was got. You cry loud enough to wake up anybody and then make you shut up. Straighten up. Did you ever in the world have a church service where some little wild one tore the whole meeting up and all it needed, it didn't need to be took out there and said, you better mind, I'll get you. It need to be warmed. I mean warmed. Whew. Tore the whole, well, I didn't want to get off on that. We are passing away. No wonder that old preacher that stepped up on that porch over there in Missouri when that woman was dying, already whispered in her husband's ear what to do about the children, how she wanted to be buried. So near dead, she couldn't hardly talk, and the husband would have to lean down to read her, hear her, couldn't read her lips. She was so near dead. That old man from Arkansas was sent from God. What happened to her? Well, I won't drag it out. God healed her. That's what he done to her. Brought that mother out of there. Brought her out of there healed by the power of God. You better let God help you while you're flourishing. You better wave your hands and worship God. Girl, you better lift your voice and praise the Lord. Man, you better vibrate your vocal cords for God. He gonna cut the grass on you in a little bit. Grass cutting time here in a minute. You'll be gone. Are you ready? Had you stopped to consider you're not going to be here very long? That little 16-year-old boy, they called me to preach his funeral. They called me to preach his funeral. You know the only thing I had to read for an obituary? Student! You know how he died? Got in the car with the boy, stole the car. Down the road they went in the stolen car, lost control, hit a telephone pole, sent him into eternity. You don't know how soon the Lord will cut the grass. But you're just like grass. You're beautiful. We appreciate you. You appreciate us. But God that rules it all calls for a mowing job. He cuts it down. I notice here in Isaiah 51 and 12, had you noticed this verse? I am the Lord that comforteth you. You hear that? Ain't nobody can do that like God can. I've said everything I could think of. I've had funerals. Many of them, and you have, you brethren, but I've never thought a thing. I never have had a funeral where I thought I said enough or said the right thing. I've said everything I could think of, and they said it done fairly well, but I've never been able to satisfy myself that I've said what ought to have been said. I am he that comforteth you. I don't understand. My father passed away, and I had the Holy Ghost in far. Now, Hebrishihabahobahamandalo, I don't know whether you have got the Holy Ghost or not. Maybe you fall out with the Holy Ghost. I don't know. But the Holy Ghost was in me, and it wrapped itself around me like a kidney belt, as near as I could explain it, that a motorcycle rider wears. And for 3 days and nights during that ordeal, the power of the Lord stayed upon me till I could go to my father's. I always wish I'd have spoke at his funeral. I went to my father's side. They had powder on Roy's face, and Roy was a common man. And I said, son, my daddy don't wear powder. I said, we'll take it off then, Lester. And they did. Well, my sis said, oh, she's unsaved till now. I wish I could do like Lester's doing. Well, there's only one reason I could. I had a comforter with me that upheld me and sustained me and braced me up again. I'm the one that comforts you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? You ain't careful, your husband will keep you out. You're not careful, your wife will keep you out. You're not careful, your children will keep you out. You will not do what Jesus Christ wants you to do because you're afraid of some man somewhere. Afraid of what some man will say or do. I kind of got that man fear and spirit on me one time. My wife got with me in a meeting at Blanchard, Oklahoma, and God had raised her from 10 weeks in the bed, and she screamed like a panther that night. And she never had screamed like that. And when she screamed, I was up front and I kind of ducked my head just a little. And the Lord said, why did you duck your head? What do you know on her? What evil has she done? Is it because she hollered that you did it? If he didn't back me in the corner and whoop me up one side and down the other till all I could say is, mercy, mercy, mercy. Mr. Gilmore, that owned Gilmore's department store, was there. Big Shot from the post office was there. And after church, here come Gilmore. Never been to meeting with him in my life. He wasn't a homeless man. Mr. Moore said, that's your wife hollered like that? Yeah, I said, that's who it was. He said, I never had anything do me so much good in all my life. Here come the old boy in the post office. LD said, your woman hollered like that. Help me so much. I was like old Sam Lambert was down in Oklahoma when he went in the cafe with his old mean wicked uncle. Sam sat down and seen a sign on the wall said prior changes thing. He thought about the day they filed manslaughter charges against him because his wife died. Hauled him to court and tried to accuse him of being mean to him. He wasn't. And it tried him in the case and the judge dismissed everything. Said there's nothing to this stuff against this preacher man. It's all a bunch of foolishness. Sam told a shout and spell in the courthouse and hugged the judge and the prosecutor, the attorney and the lawyer, hugged everybody. Sam got in there where that sign hanging on that wall in that restaurant down there in Oklahoma. He seen that, and Sam, pretty easy excited. Pretty easy stirred. I'm going to tell you the truth. God'd have to holler at some people awful loud to ever let them know he is anywhere close to them. You don't have to do me like that. Why, I'd kick a few kicks and shout a few shouts and jump a few jumps and hit a few licks if he's a million miles from me for him. Sure. You know, I'll wait on the Lord to say thank you to the Lord. And I'll wait on the Lord to say thank you. Praise him. Last night when his spirit got on me, I couldn't quit. Sam shouted. Whoop! He said, thank God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Got outside after they ate, and Uncle said, there's a place to do that shouting, Sam. Unsaved. Sam felt mighty bad. Went through there with him in a few days. He stopped at the same restaurant. Went in to eat. Woman walked up to him and said, what do you men have? And he tried to tell her. She said, was you in here the other day? Are you the man that shouted in here? Uh-oh. Sam said, yes, Mom. She said, order anything in here. I own this place. Buy you the biggest steak I've got. Both you men eat anything in the world you want. Said I never had anything give me so much good in all my life.
Come on, brother. Glory. Glory.
Glory. Old Sister Pete Truesdale said, if I have to get the Holy Ghost flat on my back, I'll never get it. I was there the night she got it. I wish you'd guess how she is fixed decently. Flat on her back. I am he that comforteth you who art thou. Thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker that stretched forth the heavens, thank God, laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Grass. We're going to be cut down. Headed for grass. Here's a fella, fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. He didn't realize how great God was. He didn't realize how important God's ways were. It seems he exalted himself over what he had done, bragged about it. Yeah, God drove him out and he had to eat grass like an ox. Now, you all read about him. I know you did. Read about him. Well, he didn't realize how great God was. He didn't realize that he was just grass. God's going to cut the grass. I notice here in the book of James, the first chapter, in the 10th verse, but the rich in that is made low. Let the brother low degree rejoice in that is exalted. But the rich in that is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen. You know, God's going to put sun on it in a minute. The sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, the flower thereof falleth, the grace of the flesh of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You're going to fade away. Fade out of the picture after a while.
Just takes a few years to change it all. How much longer? We have old folks here that's unsaved tonight. We have gray-headed people here that's unsaved in this house. I can't just ease around to you. I got to get to the point with you. You're nearly gone. You better get saved. You better get saved. You better get saved. Sun's going to come up on it in a minute. Going to burn it. We just come from home, had over 50 days of 100 degree temperatures. We qualify for aid down there now. Low interest loans because of such a drought. I said to my friend down there, if God had just run the sun in here a few degrees closer, he'd burn us all to a crisp. If he'd move the sun away a little ways further, he'd freeze us all to death. The sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass. The flower thereof falleth. Pasturing Riverbank, California, heard a blood-curdling scream. Run outside and looked across the street. An old man lay on the grass. I jumped a little fence and run over there. And there's a 16-year-old girl. What can you do? What can you do? She has knelt by her father saying, Daddy, oh, Daddy, don't go away. Daddy, oh, I know why that girl wrote. I know why they wrote that song down there in that mining country. Daddy, oh, Daddy, don't go to the mines. Don't go to the mines. Well, I know why they wrote that song, Tie the Leaves. So they can't come down and Mary won't go away because the man's wife was going to die in the fall. And that's when C.B. Prater, my uncle's wife died with T.B. was in the fall. And that's the reason C.D. sung that song all the time, because he lost you father in the fall with the T.B. And when he heard that song that that man wrote that lost his wife in the fall with T.B., he said, tie the leaves so they can't come down and Mary won't leave us. God bless you. I don't know whether I'll help you tonight or not, but it's not easy to help people today. We have so many things to occupy our minds and to take our mind off the seriousness of the judgment and the world to come. You'll fade, girl, boy. You'll fade out of the picture and you'll be gone. Only what's done for Christ is going to mean anything for you. You're like the grass. God turns the heat on it. It withers the grass. The flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. You can go get your face lifted. I mean, you can just, don't do like that woman done down there in Oklahoma now. Don't you do that. I met a precious old lady down in Oklahoma the other day, and she had, I don't know who in the world convinced her of this. I guess the cosmetic business is a multi-million-dollar affair, and if I was in it, I guess I'd keep pushing everything I had to sell because I want to sell it. This woman had shaved off all of her eyebrows. All of her eyebrows. And I wanted to tell her, if you let me have that black pencil, I'll make you a better job than you made on there. You have literally ruined your appearance. She couldn't even draw a decent line across there. And she really had. You fade. It don't make any difference what you put on your skin, child. It don't make difference how you dress this old frame up. Don't you know we can tell you fashion? It don't make any difference what you do. You're going. You're like the grass. Brother, we ain't very important. I'm honest. Murray, I've never thought I was a great preacher, and you know that. I love these boys. They're good to me. They say good things about me. Charlie, you won't keep me from leaving. You won't keep me from going. I've got to go. I'm fading out. I'm fading out. You're going to leave us. Are you ready? Let me tell the folks if I have anything to do at the funeral. She prayed before she died. I've had a lot of them already. Let me be able to say, yeah, that old boy sought God in the altar. He prayed. Give us something to say. Preached a funeral down in Oklahoma a while back, and the boy hit a bridge, killed him, went to eternity. Never any record of him being saved. Daddy was a preacher. Oh, what can you say? Grass cut in time. Grass cut in time. tie the leaves so they can't come down. Mary won't go away. I've had them, and you have, and they stood at Mother's casket and said, "Oh, Mama, we can't live without you." Yeah, we have to. Are you ready? Are you a Christian? Are you right with your Maker? Are you like Brother Walker was? He was my deacon at Norman, Oklahoma. Hung sheetrock for a living. Had several houses to hang. And you know, he said, "I feel kind of bad." Went to the doctor, checked him up, said, "Man, you'll be here 6 weeks and no more. There's no hope to operate on you. You're eat up with cancer. You're gone." He went out, Benny, and let his contract out to other men. Fixed his business up. I prayed with him the night he died. He didn't go to the hospital, stayed home. We have poor people down in Oklahoma. I mean, you know what is poor, don't you? You don't have to be disgraceful because you're poor. You don't have to stink because you're poor. You don't have to not take a bath because you're poor. God will have you get a whole enough money to get a haircut, even if you're poor. But he's poor and just had an old open face heater in the room, son. I was prayed with him the night he died. Got up and turned the phone. Mine. When I got up from his bedside praying with him, he said, "I'm not afraid, Brother Moore. I'm not afraid." Think about that. You may say it tonight because you feel good, but Jim, when you get right at death's door, if you can say it, you got hold of something. That's the reason that old preacher that went to heaven from Deep Queen, Arkansas said, "I do not walk alone, and I am not afraid. When troubles are gathering around, I'm not dismayed." Raise you up off your seat, ain't it? He'd put you on the floor patting your foot. Yeah. Well, that's three or four parts, don't you boys know I'm saying? Alto, you know that, didn't you? Well, I've covered it all there. I've got the bass in there. Amen. I've got the baritone and the alto and the tenor soprano. "I do not walk alone, and I am not afraid. When troubles are gathering around, I'm not dismayed." Any way you fix it, Lord, it's all right with me. Any way you fix it, Lord, it's all right with me. Any way you fix it, Lord, it's all right with me. It's all right, it's all right with me. That's what Claude had in his book. Claude even had it. Any way you fix it, fix it like you want it. "I do not walk alone, and I'm not afraid." I went to see Ralph Cox's mother the other day, 65 pounds, laying at the point of death, looked like. Walked in a room, her husband sitting there holding her hand. 80-year-old people. She said, "Brother Moore, it don't make a bit of difference. It don't mean a thing. If he wants me, I'm ready now. If he wants me to go and leave right now, I won't say a word. If he's ready, I'm ready. Everything's all right. Ready to go right now, Brother Moore. Leave out of Tulsa right now if he wants me." Ralph Cox's mom. Dad sitting by the bed holding her hand, said, "Don't talk about it, Mama. She is his eyes. His eyes is just about gone. She's his eyes. Don't talk about it, Mama." But Mama wasn't afraid to talk about it. I went to praying for her, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. It's worked on me for 38 years. Comes upon me just like cucumbers does a cucumber vine. If you can explain it, you can talk it to me, but if you can't, leave it alone. Comes upon me when I'm by myself or with somebody. Great God, I've kicked the rocks off the mountaintops in Arkansas. Nobody up there but me. Woo! Shot in the deep woods of Colorado, thank God. Comes upon me. Fellow needs you when them things fall on him, you know. Woo! Don't be afraid to shout. You may have been holding back too much. If it pins you under there, God may cut you down. Woo! You know what I'm talking about. We want to be ready, don't we? Be ready. Don't be afraid. Be ready. That's the thing you do. You don't have to be afraid to die. Just be ready to die. Get everything fixed up. Ready to go up. Hallelujah. Somehow or another, while I'm talking about this, I'm getting vibrations from the audience, and I order that in the book, and I don't know nothing about psychology. God help you. About all we depend on is what we read that somebody else wrote that's been dead for 30 years and never did have the Holy Ghost and fire before they died. What's the matter with you, Holiness Church? Run over here at some fella that ain't never been married, never had a family, and going to tell you how to raise yours? What's the matter with your Holy Ghost called pastor that's filled with the power of God telling you what to do? All right, 38 years is on the line. Woo! You better get ready. God's going to mow the grass on you. Going to cut the grass on you. Yes, I better hurry. Got so many things to tell. I can't hardly tell them all, but you better get ready. You better get ready. God's going to cut the grass on you. I hope if you're not saved, my scattering remarks tonight will have something to do with your decision about being saved. I hope you'll get ready. We come to get you, or the undertaker comes to get you. You can be ready. You can be ready. Sister Cox said, I'm not afraid, Brother Moore. I'm ready. I prayed for her and I left her home. 3 weeks later, the Lord spoke to me at home. Said, I want you to call up there and ask if she's still in the bed. Oh, I do some funny things. I know it, but I don't brag about it. I can't help it. Had one of them ladies wearing a mosquito bar top come in from California from the World Church into my church at Norman, Oklahoma. Told her, Daddy, thus saith the Spirit, if thou wilt return with me unto California, thou shalt be healed. And I was on the other side saying, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt surely die, and you better not get in the car and leave. Wasn't that a head button deal? I know there wasn't no woman revealing her breast to men she wasn't married to that the Spirit is using. Amen. What happened to him? She put him in the car and he died in a strange country on the way to California, like I told her he would. Mother Cox was up there and the Lord spoke to me and said, call up there and ask if she's still in the bed. Ralph Cox's mama. I called up there and they said she is. I said, go to her bedside and tell her that Brother Moore said the Lord told him to tell her to get up. Yeah. And then you get her up. Woo-wee. I'm kind of a chiropractic preacher. The reason I run is good for my arthritis.
Come on, brother.
Where you get stove up is quit running. Where you get wind up is wind up in the cord like that. Had a shouting time here the other night, and old boy, the soul of his hand hit nothing right in the mouth right there on the platform. Just tickled me. Hit him right in the mouth. Made a little bloody spot down on his tooth there. I told you, if it had been a movie, you wouldn't have got hit. Let's shut the church down. We missed the key of G. Let's shut the church down. We're not singing like movie actors. Let's shut the church down. We don't look like we jumped out of a van box. Let's shut the church down. We made a mistake. Oh, get off. Old drunken world, get out here. Make a fool out of yourself and puke on the clothes. Smell like you've been pickled. Why, sailing the gear for the Lord, son. Boy, I got saved last time I was here. Just like a jewel to me. Proud of him. Proud of him. I've seen you tonight. I've been watching you. Didn't know it, did you? No preacher ever paid no attention to you. I've seen you worship. I've seen you worship. I've seen them grandmothers cooking out there at Bristol in the kitchen. I was up at 4:35 and seen who come on the ground, who cooked and who worked. I watched who cleaned the ground up. God's watching everything.
Yes.
You're going to cut the grass on us in a minute. Holy Lord! Don't put the sickle in yet. Let me do a little something for you besides grumble and gripe and moan and groan. Help me to make a mark for you. I said, you get her up. That's what they done. And tell her Brother Moore said, the Lord said for her to get out of there. You know who it was at Bristol? Weighing 63 pounds. Coming to the altar with the saints.
You know who it was sent word? Come here, Brother Moore. She can't move like she did, brother, but she's still moving. I got time to hear him, ain't you?
Sure, come on.
Mother sitting back there holding her ear. Come over here meanwhile, go said, I just wonder if I could speak to you a minute. Well, Mother, God love your heart, Grandpa. I got the time. I got the time here. You don't have to get no form letter from me done in you for $10 to pray for you. Now, you can back me or go ahead and fall in that stuff and take the support out of your local church and turn your lights out. God's going to cut the grass after a while. I had a funeral with a D.D. down in Oklahoma. He was a doctor with the Baptist folks, some precious Baptist people. Some of them saved. Some of the Pentecostals saved. Had a funeral with a doctor of divinity. Some of our Free Holiness boys can't hardly wait to get there so they can be called doctor. The old man's talking. God bless you. Get mad if you want to. 38 years on the line right here. I said, sir, I want to ask you a question after we'd had the funeral together. Mr. Petty's on Petty Joseph's store. We buried Mr. Petty. I said, I'd like to ask you a question, sir, about Billy. I want to know if his great television ministry or his book ministry or his paper ministry has blessed the local assembly, has blessed the man that walks the hospital halls to visit the local people, has blessed the man that married the children in his church, that visited them when they're sick in bed at home, that come out in the snow and the sleet and the rain, that come through revivals and done us out to put an evangelist offering. I want to know if it built your congregation and blessed the local assembly. Doctor, Brother Moore said it ain't at one member to our Sunday schools. It's not what's going to rob us if we don't get the vision in our local church and our local assemblies and pray and seek God and have the power of God down there. Somebody else somewhere you've never met may live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He may be the goat man with his shirt unbuttoned till his belly button nearly, or a goatee on his chin. He may have a big college down there, a raking and everything. You better get the old local boy that'll burn up his gas and wear out his tires to come and see you. All right, boys. Old Father used to preach for me. I'm not a stranger. He preached for me. You know what old daddy said when he preached for me? He said 90% of television's no good. So I got up that night in service and said, I got an old car out here. The front tire's blowed out on it. The left rear tire's got 3 boots in it. The transmission leaks off. The rods is loose in it. The oil pressure's down on it, but the horn blows. I said, the right window's knocked out, the windshield's busted in the back, glass is out of it, but the left rear tire is a good tire. The brakes hold's pretty good. It drains oil. The pins is loose in it. The valves is burning it, but it's got 2 good spark plugs in it. 1 headlight burns and 1 taillight burns. Who wants it? Couldn't get nobody to bid on it or nothing. 90% of it was no good. I thought good common horse sense to teach a fellow 90% of anything no good. There wasn't no use having it. You can't tell me. I know, but I'm going to put 38 years on you and tell you ain't going to sneak by God with a bunch of foolishness. You're going to have to get on the ball and live right. I'm not a mean man. I didn't come here to be mean. But you ain't going to sit around and look at some old stripped-down woman advertising for Lucky Strike or some liquor firm somewhere and convince God there ain't no harm in that. You listen to me. God's going to cut the grass on us after a while. He's going to turn the heat on us after a while. He's going to wither us after a while. And what we're going to wish is we've done our very best for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to lay it on the line with you. 38 years of sacrifice. I speak as a fool, but we put something in here. And in this last day, we in the fall for a bunch of this foolishness that's taking place. May God help us to realize grass cutting time fixing hit us. We better be ready. We got some fellows down in my country. I've been to their layout. I know what they're worth. I know where they're at. And one of them said, just think you don't have the headache and you don't have it. Get off. If you've got it, come up here and we'll pray for you and God will heal you.
Amen.
Pray for Don Horton's girl a year ago over there. And Rich Lance, God healed her over a year ago. Healed her of headaches. She ain't had any. God healed her, Joe Bill, by turning that meeting. Away with such mind over matter deceitfulness. Huh? Just think you ain't got it. You ain't got it. Now don't give me that stuff. Amen. If I cut my toe, my toe's cut. Pray for my cut toe. No use me of thinking it ain't cut. I guess I can tell if it's cut. And now, if you are so silly, you're going to waste my time telling me you got the gut ache. If you ain't got it, well, don't waste my time. But if your stomach's hurting and you know it is, we'll pray for you and God will heal you. God don't cut the grass after a while. And a lot of folks in the church world just dilly-dallying around, playing church and fooling around. They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready. I won't be a deceiver. I want to be right with God. Don't you? When God calls your number.